The following is a presentation from Lancaster Baptist Church and Pastor Paul Chapel.
Today's message is entitled, A Religious Man and a Common Woman Reach Out to Jesus. And I'm thankful today that we serve a God that hears from all of us. And we're going to see that today in Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 40. Are you ready to journey with Jesus this morning? That was a little weak. How many of you are ready to journey with Jesus this morning? All right, that's a little better. And we're going to move along today, starting in verse 40, so follow with me as I read. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying, but as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And Jesus said, Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him and declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the power that we see in this text. We thank you for your word, and for the fact that we can have your revelation of truth today. Please speak to our hearts through your word this morning and strengthen our faith, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, I want all of you to remember that Luke was written for a very specific purpose, and we read back in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 4, it was written that we might know the certainty of the power of Christ. Now turn, if you would, real quickly back to Luke chapter 1 in your Bible. And I just want you to look at that by way of introduction, Luke chapter 1 and verse number 4. Just turn back a few chapters there, and let's be reminded of what we were told in the introduction to this book, given to us by the Holy Spirit, as Luke the physician wrote. And look what it says in Luke 1, 4, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. God says, I want you to know for sure what you believe. I want you to know that my record is actually something that has happened. It was seen by many witnesses, and I've given Luke as an eyewitness the opportunity to write this under the inspiration of my spirit so that you don't have to wonder about who you know and who you believe, but that you can know that you worship the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who had power over death, who had power over all things. And so today, when we read the Gospel of Luke, God is saying, I want you to know for sure what you believe and why you believe it. And in the text this morning in Luke chapter 8, we see the Lord Jesus Christ is returning back to Capernaum from the city of Gadara, where he last week, according to the Bible, was able to cast the demons out of what we call the maniac of Gadara. And so Jesus crosses back from Gadara, back across the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum, and this is where his ministry really centered. This was the home of Peter and his mother, and in the background we see the synagogue of Capernaum. This is a second century stone, first century foundation. in the foreground, some of the foundations of the homes in Capernaum. And even 2,000 years later, the ruins remind us that this was the place of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we see the story unfolding this morning in Luke chapter 8, verses 40, 41, and 42, we see that Jesus is coming into this town, and people are thronging about him. During this Galilean crusade, the miracles of Jesus were becoming known, the power of Jesus was becoming known, and everywhere he went, people wanted to be around him. It reminds me of the story that we read later in the Luke's gospel about the time when Jesus went to Jericho. And there was a man in Jericho that wanted to see Jesus, but the crowd was so big and they couldn't see Jesus. And you remember what that man's name was? He was a little short man. What was his name? Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus climbed up into a tree. What kind of tree was it? All right, you're doing good. He climbed up into a sycamore tree because he wanted to see Jesus. Everybody wanted to see Jesus, and everybody wanted to be near him because he was teaching about love and eternal life. He was healing those that were sick. And today we see that there were two very different types of people that wanted to see Jesus. One was a woman who was isolated from society, and one was a man who was very well known in society. But both of them had needs, and both of them come to the Lord Jesus. So let's dive right into it this morning. Notice, first of all, in our text, there is a call for help. There's a call for help. And in verse 41, it says, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him." Now here we hear a call from help from a man that was hurting, from a hurting man. This man's heart was so heavy. You see, he only had one child, and it was a girl, and she was 12 years old, and she was laying on her deathbed. And this man was a religious leader of the Jewish faith. Normally, he would not have perhaps approached the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of his peers did not believe in Jesus, just like some of your peers do not believe in Jesus. But we see this man disregarding his position. It didn't matter to him anymore what his friends thought. What mattered to him was the fact that Jesus seemed to have power over sickness. And Jesus, he had heard, had power over death. And so this man, who was a ruler of the synagogue, probably the one who appointed the teachers week after week, probably the one that was overseeing the care of the synagogue, though he was a ruler, we see him coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, no matter what your position is in life, when there is a crisis in your heart, when there is a hurt in your heart, you're going to look for the truth. And this was a man who, prior to this, perhaps had made fun of Jesus. Perhaps he didn't want to hear about Jesus. But now his daughter was sick, and he wanted to get an answer. He wanted to get help, and so he was willing to come to Jesus. May I say to you this morning, perhaps sometime in the course of the last year, you have invited someone to church. You've tried to tell someone about Jesus, but they didn't want to hear about it. They had their religion. They had their education. They have their money. And they just didn't want to give you the time of day. I want to remind you this morning that when crisis comes to those people's lives, many times people who said no before will say yes when their heart is heavy enough. And that's what was happening in Jairus' life. He was now so heavy because of his daughter's health that he was willing to come to the Lord Jesus. He disregarded what other people thought. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:25, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Let me tell you something, my friend. We ought not to live our lives worrying about what our friends think. We ought not to live our lives thinking, if I get saved, if I become a Christian, what will my friends think? You see, there's something more important than what your friends think, and that is eternity, and that is knowing God in your heart. And so this man disregarded what his friends had to say. One man wrote these words about afflictions and trials. His name was Robert Murray McShane, and he said, "Affliction is sometimes sent for the conversion of the soul. Sometimes in health, the word does not touch our heart. The world is all. Its gaieties, its pleasures, its admiration captivate our mind. God sometimes draws us into a sick bed and shows us the sin of our heart, the vanity of worldly pleasures, and drives the soul to seek a sure resting place for eternity in Christ. Oh, happy sickness that draws the soul to Jesus. Now, normally we don't say, oh, I'm glad I'm sick, or a happy sickness like that. But what he is saying is, if your trial, if your difficulty brings you to Jesus, then be thankful for that difficulty, that it brought you to Jesus Christ. Some of you today have a heavy heart. You have a burden. But because of that burden, you're seeking answers from God, when you may not have sought those answers from God. This was the case in Jairus' life. He would not normally have come to Jesus, but because of his sickness, a hurting man comes to Jesus. Not only was he a hurting man, but he was also a humble man. Notice the Bible says in verse number 41 that he fell down at Jesus' feet and he besought him that he would come into his house. You see, he dismisses all of his pride and he says, I want Jesus to come to my house. You see, James chapter 4 and verse 6 says, for he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. And God is looking for men and women today who will humble themselves and who will say, Lord, I need you. I admit it. I need your help in my life. And when we humble ourselves, he draws nigh to us. This man dismissed his pride, and this man made a humble request. He said, Lord, my daughter's 12 years old. She's just starting her life. You see, in Jewish culture, around ages 12 to 16, she was coming to the place where she could have been married. And she was now of an age where she would soon begin her own life and her own family. And Jairus, no doubt, was thinking, right at the most exciting time of her life, she's almost going to die. And his heart was overwhelmed. And so the Bible says he besought the Lord. That means he was begging the Lord for help. We see the call of help that comes from a man with a hurting heart. Yes, there are people who act like they don't need God. They've got their money. They've got their education. They think they know everything. But I'm going to tell you, in the emergency room, many times, the first thing they say is, oh my, and then they say God's name. The first one they call out to is God. And here we see a man calling out to God. But notice, secondly, there's also a reach for help. There's someone in this passage that's reaching out to Jesus and reaching out for his help. Notice in verse 43, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched or stopped. Now here we see a desperate woman. This woman needed help desperately, and she's going to also come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard a good illustration of being desperate this week. The story was told about some pilots that were in Navy pilot school, and there was an engineer that was trying to teach them about aircraft, and he was explaining to them about the engine. And he always referred to the engine as the air conditioner. And these pilots, after a few days of this, finally said, sir, why do you always refer to the engine as the air conditioner? And he said, well, because when it stops running, you start sweating. How many of you would agree with me, if the engine stops sweating, that's a desperate situation? And all of us in our life, we get into these desperate situations from time to time. And that's what happened to this woman. Notice what the Bible tells us in verse 43. She had an issue of blood 12 years. The first thing we see about this woman, she was very sick. And you could go into more of a medical diagnosis, but essentially she had a continual hemorrhaging that was taking place in her life. For 12 years she had hemorrhaged. For 12 years she had had serious pain. And I'm not talking about kind of like making it up. I mean, she had serious pain. It's like the husband that went to the doctor and his wife went with him. And the doctor came out of the office and began to speak to the wife and explaining the condition. And the husband was kind of hard of hearing and everything. And so he said to the wife, he said, your husband has a very serious illness. And the husband said, what did he say? And the wife said, he said that you're very sick. And then the doctor said, now I can tell you how you can help him live longer. He said, I want you to help reduce his stress. Every morning, give him a good hearty breakfast, his favorite breakfast. Always be pleasant to him. Try to look very nice for him. And when he comes home from work at night, give him a shoulder rub and kind of rub his head. Come on, man, doesn't that sound good? Give me an amen right there, all right? And the doctor's saying, just rub his back, rub his head, give him a good dinner, his favorite dinner, and just try to cater to his every need. Right about then, the husband said, what's he saying? And the wife said, he's saying you're going to die. Now, have you ever been around someone they're just kind of making it up how bad they are, right? They're acting like, oh, they're so desperate, they're so sick. This woman literally was very, very sick. For 12 years, she was in pain. For 12 years, she was hemorrhaging blood. But not only was she very sick, she was a very lonely woman. You see, the Bible tells us that her particular sickness was an issue of blood. And according to Jewish culture, to touch this woman would make you unclean. She was considered unclean. She was shut out from religious life. To give you a little side note on that, look at Leviticus 15:25. It says, "And if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean." So what this meant basically was she could not go to the synagogue. She could not go to the times of worship. She was not there for the times of fellowship. She was not welcome to those things because she was deemed unclean. She was a sick woman. She was a lonely woman. And loneliness is a real problem in our society. Charles Swindoll, in a book he wrote some years ago, talked about an ad that was placed in a Kansas newspaper. And the ad said that this person said, "I will be glad to talk to you for 30 minutes without comment for $5 for each 30-minute segment." Someone called the lady and said, "Are people really paying you $5 for the 30-minute segment?" She said, "Yes, 10 to 20 calls a day are coming in by people who just want somebody to talk to." Loneliness is prevalent in our society today. This woman was a sick woman. She was a lonely woman. And thirdly, she was a poor woman. Look what the Bible says in verse 33. The woman had an issue of blood 12 years, and she had spent all her living upon physicians. There's nothing worse than not getting a right diagnosis. Some of you this morning, you've had maladies of different types. You've had aches in your body, pains in your body, and it's been frustrating for you. You go to one doctor and they say it's this, but the pain continues. You go to another doctor and they say it's this, and try this medicine. And this woman had been doing that for 12 years, and still the pain persisted in her life. And now her money was gone. I'm telling you, this woman was a desperate woman. But a desperate woman is now reaching out to a Savior who is perceptive, to a perceptive Savior. And notice what happens after she touches him. In verse 45, Jesus says, "Who touched me?" Now, he didn't say that because he didn't know. Jesus has all knowledge as God in the flesh. He's omniscient. But he asked the question because he wanted to draw attention to the woman, and he wanted the miracle to be known in this case. And he was also perceptive to the fact that strength had gone out of him when she touched him. Notice in verse 46, Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." Now, we learned last week that ministry can be very draining. When Jesus got into the ship going to Gadara, he immediately fell asleep. Everywhere he went, people were thronging about him. And yet, this was not just a bumping into Jesus, but this woman reached out and touched Jesus. And she was unclean, and he is totally clean. And she is unrighteous, and he is totally righteous. And Jesus said that when she touched him in faith, seeking his healing power, that when she touched him, he could feel literally the strength go out of him. The word virtue does not mean that his deity was reduced, for he was always 100% God, but also he was 100% man. The Bible says the Word, the eternal Word, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And Jesus said, "When that person touched me, I could feel the strength go out from me." Those of you that are involved in professions like the medical profession, and perhaps in counseling, and perhaps in teaching and such things, working with people, oftentimes in counseling and helping and bearing burdens and seeing sickness, there is a strength that comes out from someone who is working in that type of a service. And Jesus himself was willing to pay the price of losing his strength. And may I remind you this morning that a ministry that costs nothing will accomplish nothing. But Jesus was willing to pay the price of fatigue and to lose strength in order to help others. And ultimately, Jesus gave all of his strength when he died on an old rugged cross in order that we could be saved. And I thank God for over 1,000 people this week who went all over the Antelope Valley serving food and cleaning up missions and going out to resource centers and helping all over the Antelope Valley and saying, you know what, I'm a little bit tired, but I want to be like my Savior and I want to give so that others may know the love of God. Thank God that Jesus was willing to let some strength go out of him in order that our needs might be met. And that's exactly what he says. The virtue has gone out of me. That word virtue means dynamite or strength had left him. And so a desperate woman is touching a perceptive Savior. But notice the reason, thirdly, it was for a divine proclamation. Notice the proclamation in verse 47. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Notice the proclamation of the woman. She comes fearfully. She comes bowing down. And she says, I touched you, Lord, and I was healed immediately. And the Bible says the blood was stanched. The blood stopped immediately by the touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus says in verse 48, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. And by the way, faith always precedes peace. And we understand that in the scripture. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this woman put her faith in the Lord Jesus, and his peace came into her life. Someone said, my faith can sleep sound on no other pillow than on the omnipotence of God. And so her faith had made her whole. She was not allowed to touch anyone lest they become unclean. But listen, when she touched Jesus, she became clean. And when you receive Jesus as your Savior, though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be washed whiter than snow. And when an unclean person reaches out to Jesus and said, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I'm falling short of your glory, but you're the perfect one. You're the Son of God. Jesus, come into my life and forgive me. That person that is unclean, and that is all of us, for we all fall short of God's glory. When we call out to Jesus Christ, he makes us clean by the power of his blood. How we thank God for that today. David, after his committing adultery with Bathsheba, David said in Psalm 51 in verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Listen, I'm thankful that we serve a Savior who can take the unclean and make them clean to the glory of God. This morning we hear a call for help. Jesus, Jesus, my name is Jairus, my 12-year-old daughter, Jesus, please. She's about to die. And then there's a woman. She doesn't speak a word. She's embarrassed, perhaps. She's unwanted, perhaps. And just in a desperate motion, she touches Jesus, and her life is changed forever. Notice, if you would, finally this morning, the blessing of hope. So what happens to Jairus' daughter? Look, if you would, at verse 49. The Bible tells us, and he's at verse 49, while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying unto him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. Now here we see a very sad proclamation. Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. Jesus is walking towards Jairus' house, but he has his helpers with him, his disciples, and they say, look, Jairus, your daughter's dead. Let's not trouble Jesus at this time. Let's just let Jesus go on his way. It seems that this delay that Jesus had healing the woman and speaking to the woman apparently caused this girl's death. In other words, his time spent here, he didn't get there in time. And Jesus' disciples say, you know, Lord, you don't need to go into Jairus' house because she's already died. By the way, how many of you believe what I believe this morning? Jesus is always right on time. He's always right on time. And that's why we see a hopeful declaration in verse 50. Look at what it says. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Jesus prepares Jairus for the great work that God is going to do. Someone said, we should be thankful for our tears. They prepare us for a clearer vision of God. And I'm here to tell you this morning that sometimes when we have the biggest burdens in life, sometimes when our heart is heavy, and I don't know that there is a heavier burden in life than having one of your own children be sick or nigh unto death in this way. And Jairus was weeping and his eyes were filled with tears, no doubt. But sometimes God will use those tears and those difficulties that we go through to give us a better glimpse of Himself, to teach us about His greatness. And we see in this passage that there is the declaration of hope. Jesus says, fear not, believe only. Would you say that with me, please? Fear not. One more time. Believe only. I don't know about you, but sometimes when you're going through life, things are okay, family's all right, job's all right, suddenly you'll get that news. Suddenly there's something on an x-ray. Suddenly there's something about your children. Suddenly you find out something about your spouse. And suddenly we have this response, and it's sometimes referred to as that fight or flight response. And suddenly there's that adrenaline that triggers. And if we're not careful in our human state, we're going to get stuck on the fearful tendency. And suddenly we get to that place where all we do is worry, and we're just so worried about what's going on and how could this happen, and the tears can come. And that, by the way, the devil wants you to stay right there. He wants you to be in the fearful mode constantly, because when you're paralyzed in fear, you're not going to serve God. But Jesus says, fear not, believe only. Jairus, don't spend all your time in fear. I want you to give me some time in faith. Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And Jesus is saying, Jairus, as long as I'm here, there's still hope. Fear not. Believe only. A sad proclamation led to a hopeful declaration. And then notice what it leads to. Thirdly, it leads to a powerful love. Now here we're going to see how love works. Notice in verse 51. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father of the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. Now Jesus, for the first time in the Gospels, brings three with him into this house, Peter, James, and John. Why three, we might ask? Why those three, someone else might ask? Management studies have been done on this. Why would Jesus have the three come and be in the midst? Why was it Peter, James, and John who were allowed to see the transfiguration and be a part of that in Luke 9:28? We do not know exactly, but they were there. They were invited in. And we see that in this moment, Jesus was going to demonstrate to them the power of his love for Jairus and for his daughter. And we see three things about this love. Notice, first of all, the love of Jesus is more powerful than sorrow. In verse 52, the Bible says, weep not, she is not dead, she sleepeth. They were weeping. There were perhaps paid mourners there in the Jewish tradition. Weeping, crying out, pounding their chest. And Jesus says to them, weep not, she's not going to die. She is sleeping. I will raise her from this time. And he is calling out to them, telling them, my love is more powerful than your sorrow. Secondly, his love is more powerful than criticism. Look at verse 53. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. The word scorn means to deride him. They literally said, ha, you fool, you're not going to raise her. We know a little bit about this. We're the paid mourners. We've been to funerals before. There's no pulse. There's no breathing. You're not going to raise her up. And they begin to scorn Jesus. And I might say to you, if you believe in heaven, if you believe in the resurrection, there will be some people who will scorn you, who will laugh at you because of what you believe. And I would tell you simply this morning, to avoid criticism, all you need to do is do nothing, say nothing, and be nothing, and you won't be criticized. But if you intend to do anything or be anything for Jesus Christ, there will be criticism that will come your way. But Jesus said, my love is more powerful than your scorn. And thirdly, his love was more powerful than death. More powerful than weeping, more powerful than this time of scorning, and more powerful than death. Look at verse 54. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. Now here we see in the scripture, the Bible tells us, even as with Lazarus, who Jesus said, come forth. The Bible says that he speaks to this maid, and he calls out and says, Maid, arise. And the fact that her spirit returned to her is reminding us that the spirit is that part of the person that survives death. And that eternal part of a person that had gone out of her now comes back into her. And her life is restored by the very word of Jesus Christ. Just as he has restored one in chapter 7, just as he had restored Lazarus, he now restores Jairus' daughter to life. And he says, my love has more power than even death. And he commanded that she would have life and told them to feed her so that they would know physically that she was alive. She goes out as a testimony. In fact, he says to her parents, you don't need to say anything about this miracle. Let her resurrection be all the testimony that people need to see. And I want to say to you this morning, I'm thankful that I serve a God who is more powerful than death. And we all know this life is temporal. James says, what is your life? It's like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanisheth away. And we understand it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. But Jesus said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. My friend, when it comes to eternal life, make sure that you have put your trust in Jesus Christ. Make sure that you know that he is your personal Savior. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Oh, thank God this morning that Jesus Christ has power over death and the grave. And one of the reasons we know Jesus Christ to be God in the flesh is because one of the attributes of deity is the giving and the taking of life. And here we see that Jesus Christ gives life to Jairus' daughter. And it is only Jesus Christ that can give eternal life to you, my friend, this morning. And if you're here today not sure that you have eternal life, then I would encourage you to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved today. Behold, today is the day of salvation, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The blessing of hope comes from Jesus himself. And I tell you this morning, his hope is more powerful than any hindrance you might face. His love is more powerful if you would but turn to Jesus Christ and be saved today. Maybe you're here today and you know that you're saved, but you're carrying a heavy heart. You've got something that's happened in your life, a difficulty. And the eyes fill up with tears from time to time. Let me encourage you, allow those tears to give you a clearer focus on the one who loves you more than you would ever know, the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning that whether it's a woman who was the outcast of society, or a man who is the ruler of the synagogue, that you hear all of us who humble ourselves before you. I pray that there would be men and women like that in this room today who would call unto you. Lord, speak to hearts this morning.